Opening narration.
Akhotra Foundation presents the Akhotra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhotra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Akhotra Dialogue. Today we're diving deep into a book that really feels like a time capsule. David Kirkpatrick's The Facebook Effect. It captures the inside story of Facebook right as it was exploding.
Yeah, it's fascinating because it's from 2010. It really shows Facebook in its optimistic youth, you could say, right before things got, well, more complicated.
Exactly. And our focus is Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, think about it. A 19-year-old Harvard student creates something that connects 500 million people in under 6 years.
It fundamentally changed everything, didn't it? Communication, information sharing, even our ideas about privacy.
So our mission today is to unpack that early vision, you know, radical transparency connecting everyone. What did it mean then? And what lessons can you take away now?
It's a snapshot of a revolution mid-flight, just as it hit 500 million users, before the big shadows fell. It's key to understanding the company's DNA, I think.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Zuckerberg's story doesn't kick off in Silicon Valley. He grew up in Dobbs Ferry, New York. Pretty affluent suburbs.
Right. His parents were a dentist and a psychiatrist. They definitely encouraged achievement and a bit of that entrepreneurial spark, too.
His dad actually got him into programming early on back in the 90s, which led to Zucknet, this little messaging system for the dental office.
And Zucknet is such a telling little detail, isn't it? It shows that core impulse he had from the start. See a communication problem, solve it with code. Very practical.
Then at Philips Exeter Academy, his skills just took off. He built Synapse, this AI music player. Microsoft and AOL were interested.
But he turned them down, released it for free, and went to Harvard instead. That says a lot, right? It wasn't just about the money even then. It was about building cool stuff and sharing it.
Harvard in 2002 sounds like the perfect storm for him. Computer science, psychology, but also feeling like an outsider with all those exclusive clubs.
Yeah, and that outsider feeling, ironically, might have fueled his drive for a more universal connection.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to FaceMash.
Ah, FaceMash. Notorious. Rating classmates' attractiveness. It showed off his coding chops, sure, but also his willingness to push boundaries. Got him into serious trouble, too.
Definitely controversial.
Yeah.
But Kirkpatrick points out it proved a key idea for Zuckerberg. People were interested in mapping real-world identities online. A messy lesson in privacy, maybe, but proof in concept.
So the lessons from FaceMash, plus the need for a good student directory that directly led to the Facebook, launched February 4th, 2004, right from his dorm.
And the key difference from things like Friendster was authenticity. Real names, university emails. That made it stick. It went viral almost instantly.
Then comes the summer of 2004. Huge turning point. He drops out of Harvard, moves to Palo Alto.
And meets Sean Parker.
Yeah.
Napster guy. Parker became this crucial mentor figure.
Right. Parker plugged him into Silicon Valley, told him to think way bigger, and famously convinced him to drop the Facebook.
Parker really helped translate that raw coding talent into a world-changing vision, showed him the ropes of venture capital, network effects, how social software was different.
That summer also brought the first big investment. Peter Thiel, PayPal co-founder, put in $500,000.
Which valued the company at $5 million. Essential cash for scaling, but also, you know, huge validation.
And even then, you see his style, showing up to VC meetings in hoodies, flip-flops, insisting they judge the product, not the clothes.
Yeah, that anecdote really shows his focus on substance over style and his belief in authentic leadership. Even if it broke the mold, he wasn't going to pretend.
Okay, fast forward to 2006, the legendary Yahoo offer, $1 billion.
A billion, and he's only 22.
And he turns it down, against the advice of his entire board, pretty much.
Kirkpatrick describes that board meeting. Apparently a VC told him he'd regret it forever, but Zuckerberg just stuck to his guns about the long-term vision.
That refusal, it really defined the company, didn't it? Mission over money. Set the course for global dominance. He wasn't building it to sell.
Absolutely. It cemented his control and the idea that Facebook was playing a much, much longer game.
Then, September 2006, another earthquake moment,
The
newsfeed launches.
Which completely changed how people use the site, from visiting profiles to this constant stream.
And users hated it at first, called it the stalker feed. Huge backlash.
Hundreds of thousands joined protest groups. But Zuckerberg looked at the data. Engagement was actually soaring. People were spending more time on the site.
So he held firm, tweaked the privacy controls, and newsfeed became, well, maybe the most important feature ever. It basically invented the modern social media feed.
It taught him a massive lesson. User reaction isn't always the best guide. Behavior data can tell a different story. It really solidified his trust in his own product instincts, even against a storm of criticism.
2007, they launched the platform, opening up to third-party developers, games, quizzes, apps.
A brilliant move. It turned Facebook from just a social network into like a utility, an operating system for social interaction online. Sharing the value spurred massive growth.
And then 2008, another key piece, hiring Sheryl Sandberg from Google as COO.
The adult supervision, as some call it. She built the business side, the ad engine, freeing Zuckerberg up to focus on the product and the vision. A crucial partnership.
Core philosophy and values.
So looking at all this, what was driving him? Kirkpatrick gives us a pretty clear picture of his core philosophy back then.
Yeah, several key ideas stand out. First, radical transparency, the belief that more sharing makes the world better. He saw privacy not as fixed, but as a social norm that evolves.
Second, connection as an inherent good, like it was almost a moral duty to connect the world.
Definitely. And third, the hacker way, that famous motto, move fast and break things. Prioritize speed, iteration, learning from mistakes, even if users got mad sometimes.
Right, user outrage was just another data point. And finally, seeing Facebook as tools, not content, a neutral platform, not a media company deciding what people see.
And it's fascinating looking back through Kirkpatrick's lens how those very principles, especially radical transparency and being just tools, laid the groundwork for so many future headaches and ethical debates.
Yeah, the seeds were planted early on. What about his motivations? The book argues it wasn't really about the money.
That Yahoo rejection is Exhibit A, right?
Yeah.
It seems more about solving the puzzle, the intellectual challenge of mapping human connection, and building something cool, something useful and engaging for people.
And legacy. Building something lasting, something that genuinely changed the world.
His way of dealing with problems is also pretty consistent. Analytical detachment, trusting data over emotions or complaints.
Unwavering conviction in that long-term vision. He wouldn't be easily swayed.
And, well, the reluctant apology. Like with Beacon, learning to say sorry, but often only after pushing things too far first.
Three pivotal turning points.
Okay, let's zoom in on three moments that really feel like major turning points in this early story. What stands out?
Well, first, you absolutely have to pick the Yahoo $1 billion offer rejection in 2006.
Right. Tell us that mini story again. Why was it so transformative?
So Yahoo comes in, offers this absolutely staggering amount for companies so young. The board, the investors, they're all pushing him to take it. It's the logical move, the safe bet. But Zuckerberg, just 22, says no. He tells them, I don't know what I'd do with the money. I'd probably just start another social networking site. I kind of like the one I already have. It wasn't just defiance. It was a profound statement about his purpose. It meant Facebook wasn't just another startup aiming for a quick exit. It was aiming for something much, much bigger. It fundamentally altered the company's trajectory and cemented his control.
Okay, pivotal point number one, saying no to the billion. What's next?
I'd say the launch of the news feed in late 2006.
The stalker feed backlash. Why was that so pivotal?
Because it tested his core beliefs against massive user anger. Hundreds of thousands protested. The press was critical. But Zuckerberg looked at the usage data people were engaging more, not less. He held his nerve, made adjustments to privacy, but fundamentally kept the feature. It taught him that innovation can be initially rejected, that user behavior is often more telling than user complaints, and it reinforced his data-driven approach. It also, frankly, defined the interaction model for social media for the next decade plus. It was a make-or-break product moment he navigated successfully.
Data over drama. Got it. Okay, a third pivotal moment.
For me, it has to be the Beacon controversy in 2007.
Yeah, the advertising program that shared user activity from other sites without clear consent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This was maybe his first major unforced error that caused widespread public outrage and accusations of violating user trust. It wasn't just backlash. It involved lawsuits and real damage to Facebook's image. The pivotal part was how he handled it. After initial resistance, he issued a formal public apology, something rare for him then. He admitted they'd made a mistake and shut down those problematic parts. It was a hard lesson, Kirkpatrick shows, in the absolute necessity of user trust and clear consent, especially around data. It forced a shift, making privacy considerations much more central, even if imperfectly, moving forward. It showed he could learn from public failure, albeit painfully.
Human lessons and reflection.
So when you step back and look at this whole whirlwind early period, what are some of the human lessons we can take away? Things that resonate even now?
Well, one big one is clearly about vision and persistence. Zuckerberg faced constant criticism, face mash, newsfeed, privacy concerns, but he had this core vision and he used data, maybe sometimes stubbornly, to push through. It shows that, you know, bringing something new into the world often means weathering storms of doubt.
That's true. Progress isn't always popular at first.
Exactly. And related to that, maybe, is the power of authentic leadership. His whole hoodie and flip-flops thing wasn't just an affectation. It signaled a different kind of company culture, focused on building, not on corporate bureaucracy. It attracted a certain type of talent and kept the focus sharp. Being consistently himself, even when unconventional, seemed to work.
It suggests that maybe fitting the mold isn't always the best way to lead, especially when you're trying to innovate.
Right. And another lesson, I think, is about interdisciplinary thinking. Facebook wasn't just code. It was psychology, sociology, understanding human connection. Zuckerberg combined these fields. It shows complex problems often need solutions that draw from different areas of knowledge.
You can't just stay in your tech silo.
Precisely. And maybe one more very practical lesson. Growth requires constant rebuilding. They were always outstripping their infrastructure. They had to be willing to tear things down and rebuild them completely, not just tweak them, to handle that insane scale. That mindset of radical adaptation was crucial.
That applies way beyond tech, doesn't it? Mm. Whether it's a business or even personal growth, sometimes you need to rebuild, not just patch things up.
Absolutely. These early years, captured so well by Kirkpatrick, offer these kinds of fundamental lessons alongside the specific Facebook story.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, as we wrap up our deep dive into the Facebook effect and those early optimistic years, let's try to distill it down. If you had to give our listeners three final takeaways from this specific period, what would they be? Let's aim for one emotional, one intellectual, and one universal insight.
All right. For emotional insight, I'd point to the sheer, almost audacious conviction of youth. Think about Zuckerberg turning down that $1 billion at 22. There's an emotional power in believing so strongly in your own creation and long-term vision, even when the whole world is telling you to take the money and run. It speaks to the power of purpose over pure profit, at least in that moment.
The power of believing in what you're building. Okay, what about an intellectual insight?
Intellectually, the most important takeaway has to be the concept and execution of the social graph. This wasn't just about building a website. It was about digitally mapping real-world human relationships. That insight that the connections were the core asset, the platform's true value, was revolutionary. It shifted the internet towards authenticated identity and provided the foundational structure for Facebook's dominance. Understanding the power of network effects tied to real identity was the key intellectual breakthrough.
The map of us, essentially. And finally, a universal insight, something practical we can all apply.
I think the most universal lesson is the willingness to move fast and break things, but also learn from the breaks. The hacker way wasn't just about speed. It implied rapid iteration, launching imperfect things, getting feedback, even harsh feedback, like with Newsfeed or Beacon, and then adapting quickly. That cycle of action, learning, and adaptation, even when it involves making public mistakes, is incredibly relevant whether you're building a company, working on a project, or even just trying to improve yourself. Don't be afraid to try, potentially fail, learn, and try again faster.
Vision needs persistence, authenticity can scale, think across disciplines, and embrace the cycle of building, breaking, and learning. Powerful takeaways.
Definitely a lot to think about from that early defining chapter of the social media age.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.